Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kritis. Today is September 13th, 2019. Also Friday the 13th. Is this anything ominous? I don't know, but the topic of today's discussion is there trouble in the bond market? We're going to talk about that. But first, there was some news out regarding the actress Felicity Huffman with the whole college scandal where a rich mother was paying tutors or trying to bribe people to get her children into a university. This is not breaking news to me, although it is the gossip. Everybody wants to stay on top of this. So if you turn on any news station, your Twitter feeds, anything like that, and you just scroll through the feeds, it's almost every other story is surrounding this. This is a bunch of nonsense. This is a rich kid getting into a nice university. Who cares? At the end of the day, who cares? She's going to spend 14 days in jail. Of course, she might spend fewer days than that. And I think she has to serve 250 hours of community service. Wah, wah. You know, I mean, let's just look at this in perspective, shall we? This woman who spent, I think, about $15,000 or whatever it is to have somebody take a test or to help her child get into a school with her SATs or whatever the hell the details are. I don't even care. She's going to spend 14 days in jail. We've had people in this government, we had people on Wall Street who defrauded millions of Americans in the subprime crisis. Are any of these people going to prison? How many days have they spent in jail? None. Zero. Zero. How many hours of community service did they have to serve? Zero. How many days did they spend on probation? Zero. So I could give a rat's ass if some mother is trying to help her kid get into school and spending $15,000. Is it right? No. But let's look at this in the grand scheme of things. This isn't even close. And this is the problem. Now, she's a rich individual, and fine, more power to her. I don't demonize her wealth. Okay, we got a two-tier justice system. What about that for perspective? I mean, what do you think would happen to you? You think you'd only spend 14 days in jail? I doubt it. I doubt it. So we have a whole host of issues that we have to deal with. And this is breaking news. This is a top story. Now look, you're interested in what you're interested in. You talk about what you're interested in. I'm interested in what I talk about. That's why I have this podcast. So to each his own. But just a little perspective on this. This woman's going to spend 14 days in jail for trying to help her children get into a better university. You got bankers, you got politicians, you got bureaucrats screwing over the taxpayers, screwing over everyday Americans, defrauding them, and nobody spends one day in a jail cell. So that's a true shame. Now to the markets. First, to gold and silver. We had a pretty strong down day for both of the precious metals. Gold was down 1.2% and is now trading at $1,480 an ounce. Silver got whopped. They are down 4%. And is now trading at $17.37 an ounce. So what's going on here? Now, like I said, I am still sticking by my guns. I believe the precious metals markets are in a bull market and will be for quite a while. Nothing goes straight up. Nothing goes straight down. Any type of pullback, especially this magnitude, as far as I'm concerned, is a buying opportunity. And I will be looking personally at picking something up, either the physical silver and gold or getting in with some of those miners on the stock exchange or some of the ETFs or something like that. It's definitely an opportunity. It's something to look into. You don't go all in. You dollar cost average. That's how you do it. But, you know, do your own research. Do what you think is right. But stay diversified, and precious metals are part of a diversified portfolio as far as I'm concerned. Now, this goes to sort of the broader argument we're going to be making here today, or the question that we're asking here, is there trouble in the bond market? Because we talked about this a little bit yesterday, because we're continuing to see yields go up. And this is in reverse to what we have been witnessing over the past couple of weeks. And we said, well, over the past couple of weeks with yields going down, this made sense, right? And it made sense because we are anticipating that the Federal Reserve is going to start cutting interest rates and may even begin embarking on another round of quantitative easing or some variation thereof. We know that the ECB, the European Central Bank, just cut interest rates even deeper into negative territory, and they are also going to start another round of quantitative easing. 20 billion euros per month, until they just say, well, we're done doing it. And that's going to start on the 1st of November. Okay? We also have rhetoric coming out of the Bank of Japan that says, yeah, well, you know, we're not really hitting our metrics either, so we're going to continue to perhaps lower interest rates and prime the pumps in Japan as well. Now, when you're paying attention to the central banks, there's three that we really have to focus on. The Federal Reserve here in the United States, the ECB, and the Bank of Japan. Now, on the periphery, you're going to pay attention to Australia and Canada and the Bank of England and the People's Bank of China and a few other ones. But the big kahunas, the big mamas, the big daddies, central bank, we got the Federal Reserve, the ECB, and the Bank of Japan. All right? The Federal Reserve meets next week. The markets are anticipating, at a minimum, a 25 basis point cut, which would be the same cut that they did back in July. Now, some market participants want an even deeper cut. Why? I have no idea. We have stock markets nearing all-time highs. We have unemployment at 50-year lows. We have inflation at target or near target as to where the Federal Reserve is concerned about. So this justification for wanting to cut interest rates from the narrative that we are told makes no sense to me. None whatsoever. But it's likely that that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to cut interest rates. So the markets have been anticipating that central banks, the major players, are going to cut interest rates. And as such, we have seen a decline in the yields on U.S. Treasuries across the curve, whether it's 1 month, 3 month, 2 year, 10 year, or even the 30-year bond. In fact, we've seen near record lows, and we've seen and made record lows, all-time record lows on the 30-year bond. We were below 2%. Now we are yielding 2.38% on the 30-year Treasury bond. We are now at 1.8% on the 2-year Treasury note, and we are at 1.9%, on the U.S. 10-year Treasury note. Okay? Now, this might not sound like a big move, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that because, well, we were just talking, you know, well, it was just slightly below, it was just a little bit below 2% on the 30-year, and now it's at 2.38%. What's the big deal? And we were at 1.42% not too long ago on the U.S. Treasury, on the U.S. 10-year, and now we're at 1.9. That doesn't seem like a big move, but it is. For the bond market, it's a big move. The stock market, you're going to see the type of volatility that we've grown accustomed to. You could see individual share prices go up or down 5% in any given day. Okay, there's always stocks out there that are moving to that degree, sometimes even bigger than that, all right? And this is a function of the amount of liquidity that exists within these markets. The stock market is not that liquid, especially when compared to the currency market and to the bond market, the debt market, okay? And we've talked about currencies before many times here on this podcast, and I've said, look, if you pay attention to the currency markets, which you should on somewhat of a regular basis, just to pay attention to how the markets are moving, but that's what I do here as well. If you have a 1% move in the currency market, that is a huge move, especially for the larger currencies, the U.S. dollar, the euro, the Japanese yen, British pound, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing rings true in the U.S. Treasury market and the debt markets. So when you have this unraveling, this unwinding in the debt market, what's going on here? Because what has fundamentally changed, economically speaking, that would say, okay, well, there needs to be an increase in interest rates. Because we know, or with a fair deal of certainty, that central banks are going to cut interest rates. So why would the market start to fight the Federal Reserve? Why would they start fighting other central banks? Because there's a saying out there, you don't fight the Fed. And the reason you don't fight the Fed is because they're more powerful than you are, and they have more money than you do because they have a printing press, and they're allowed to use it. If you have a printing press, you are not allowed to use it. They will lock you up and throw away the key. Believe me when I tell you. All right? Don't risk it. Don't try it. Now, that's not 100% lock. Nothing in life is. That you say, well, don't fight the Fed. There do come times when you can bet against the Fed, you can go against the Fed, and if you're right at the right time, you can make a lot of money. You can, if you short sell the stock market at the right time, you can make a lot of money. If you time the bond market unraveling at the right time, you can make a lot of money. Currencies, a whole bunch of things. You can make a lot of money if you time it right, but it's incredibly difficult to time it. And beating the Fed is not something that you're going to do on a daily basis. But if you time it right, it'll be very lucrative. But that's why I tell you to stay diversified. That's why if you want to have some of those plays on the side, you can do so. And that could be having short positions in individual stocks or against the broader markets. That's why you buy precious metals, because if something's going on here, if these markets are telling us, well, hey, we need compensated because now we're forecasting inflation going up and I need compensated, so now you got to pay me a bigger yield. Well, where do you want to be if you have inflation? You want to be in precious metals, at least to some extent, as part of a diversified portfolio. Maybe a little bit more heavy in the precious metals sector than normal, but that's what you do if this is what the market is telling us. And we have to look at the heartbeat and the rhythm of these markets, and that's what we try to do here. But that was the narrative, right? The narrative was central banks are coming, they're going to cut interest rates, they're going to lower interest rates, and the bond market took its cue from those headlines and from that narrative, and interest rates went lower. But now they're going up. So what's going on? The other thing you got to pay attention to, and we talked about this yesterday, is the divergence between, well, where the yields on the bonds were going against where the stock market was going, primarily the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, because those three indexes are set to make all-time highs. When we look at the internals of the stock markets, when we look at the Russell 2000, when we look at the mid-caps, when we look at the Dow Jones transports, when we look at the broader market of the New York Stock Exchange, which we do on a daily basis, when we look at some of the financials, when we look at leading indicators, when we look at some of the internals of the market, it says things are going down. The bond market was saying, well, things are going down because yields are going down. So there's going to be lower growth. So that's not going to be good. And we said, well, they can't both be right. Somebody's got to win out at the end of the day. Who's it going to be? What we have witnessed over the past 10 years is when yields have gone down, you have stock prices go up because this was a function of monetary policy. This was a function of lowering interest rates to the zero bound here in the United States or negative territory in Europe, in Japan. And this was a function of quantitative easing, money printing, debt monetization, throwing liquidity out into the system. And so you would have lower interest rates, lower bond yields, and then you'd have higher stock prices. Now we're seeing an unraveling of this bond market, at least over the past week and a half, and we have higher yields, but we also have a stock market that's about to make new all-time highs. So now they're moving in tandem. So something's amiss. You understand what I'm saying? That's why this podcast, Trouble in the Bond Market. Is there? What's going on here? And who's selling these bonds? And that's another question that we're asking. Is this simply your everyday mom and pop investor? Is this big money? Is this hedge funds? Is this pension funds? Is this big, or is this, you know, retail investors? Who is it? Is this orderly? Or is this something that's going to unravel a little bit more severely and a little bit more quickly over the coming days, weeks, and months ahead as we continue through 2019? These are serious questions, folks, because this is the rhythm of the market. For those of you who may have checked out some of our video presentations, and the most recent one on thecapitalnews.com or our YouTube channel at The Capital News, we talked about the yield curve, and we were focusing on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note versus the 3-month Treasury bill. And we believe that this is a reliable indicator that predicts upcoming recessions in the near term. And so I ask, and I'd appreciate if you would take the time to view those videos, because I want you to see what it is I'm talking about. I think that'll help you as we make our way through this podcast. That's what this podcast is for, to help people, to educate them so they're more aware of the business cycle, that they're more aware of the pulse and the heartbeat and the rhythm of these markets. All right? So when you look at this, it predicts recession. It just predicts recession. That's what it does. Again, the business cycle is going to come, the business expansion, I should say, of the business cycle is going to come to an end. Once it peaks, has nowhere to go but down, that's your recession. How severe it's going to be is anybody's guess. My analysis is it's going to be pretty severe. But check out that video so you have an understanding of the yield curve, because this is a continuation of what's going on here. Despite the fact that you've had the Federal Reserve in the debt market, buying up debt, buying up Uncle Sam's treasuries, the market still had a yield curve inversion. That just means it went into negative territory. And we saw the stock market sell off bigly last month when it was the yield curve against the 10-year versus the 2-year treasury note. That's when we lost 800 points on that Dow day, and then you had Donald Trump call up a few big CEOs of a few major banks on Wall Street, and then you have a rally the next day, coincidentally. So, things to pay attention to. Now, the question is, who might be selling this? Are they just trying to get out? Are they thinking, well, everything's fine, there might be a trade truce, there might be a trade deal, some economic data isn't as bad as what was predicted, some data is a little bit mixed, nothing really big to worry about. So now all of a sudden the narrative has changed. And so are people saying, well, we were flying and flocking into safe haven assets, we were flocking into bonds, and we were flocking into precious metals, but now everything's fine. So now we're just going to get out and we're going to get into stocks. I don't know, maybe that's the case, or maybe there's a big player out there selling these bonds. And could that big player be China? And that's a serious question. Because could China be doing with their left hand? Could they have an open hand and say, look, USA, we don't want to escalate. The Pacific, it's big enough for the both of us. We don't have to fight. We can have a trade truce. Hell, we might even be able to have a trade deal. We won't escalate if you won't escalate. And if you don't escalate, then we won't escalate, and back and forth and all this stuff, right? All of these nice gestures with an open hand. But what might they be doing with their right hand? Could it be a clenched fist? Could they be selling their bond holdings? They could be. I don't know to what degree, but I do know that I think this was not too long ago either. China is no longer the largest holder, the largest foreign holder of U.S. debt. It is now Japan. Japan used to be. They are now, once again, the largest holder of U.S. debt. So China has been slowly and steadily getting away from holding U.S. debt. Okay? If they do this in a grander scale, if they do this at a faster clip, this might not be so good for the U.S. of A. What will happen? You will see an increase in interest rates. Now, I ultimately think that this country needs higher interest rates because higher interest rates are going to be what cures this. It's going to bring prices down. It's going to bring correction to the system. It's what will work. It is what the free market would do. In a free market, we would not have negative interest rates. In a free market, we would not have zero interest rates. In a free market, we would not have quantitative easing. In a free market, we would not have the Federal Reserve. That's why you have to end the Fed. That's why you got to abolish the federal income tax, because it feeds the beast. It is the beast. Got to do it, folks. You want to solve problems, that's what you have to do. If you don't tackle those two things, you will not solve a damn thing, believe me when I tell you. You'll be scratching your head. You'll be looking at another group of idiots every 4 years to think that you're going to have your savior up there talking about God knows what, mumbling about this, that, and the other, thinking they're going to be the president of the United States. Then they become the president, they do nothing, and you're going to have the same argument in another 4 years. That's why this is just a rinse, repeat cycle, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. Nobody talks about this stuff. So, it's interesting, isn't it, now that you have the president of the United States continuing to call for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates, and now not just 100 basis points, but 200 basis points, and to get them back to the zero bound immediately, back to zero, and start with quantitative easing. And if we went into negative territory here, he'd be perfectly fine with that because he thinks that that's fantastic. It's not fantastic. It's not fantastic, believe me when I tell you. It's just kicking the can further down the road. It's going to be stealing from pension funds. It's going to be stealing from insurance companies who are trying to make money so they can pay out premiums and they can pay annuities to people who are trying to retire. It'll just screw everything up. It'll mess up the financial system. Not that I'm an advocate for the financial system, but that is not the way to bring them down. There's another orderly way that could be done. Doing it this way is not good at all. Just ask Europe. Just ask Japan. All right, Europe, their financial system is in shambles. It's in complete disarray, and they continue doing the same policy, thinking they're going to get a different result. That is, by definition, insanity. However, we have a president of the United States who clearly wants that. Why? I don't know. I send messages to him. I tweet him. I can't get an answer. I send letters. I don't get a response. So I don't know. But that's what he wants. probably because he is under the belief that, well, if we continue to have lower interest rates, well, the stock market will keep going up. And he's hanging his hat in his reelection on the stock market. So that's, again, that's not good policy, that's not good leadership, but that's what he's doing. So we're going to have to pay attention to all this stuff. These are serious questions. I don't know if China's selling them off, if this is who it is. But if it is, that's not good. I don't trust China. You understand this? I'm an American. I'm a patriot. I love this country. I want this country to succeed. I don't think this trade war is a good idea. I don't think these tariffs are a good idea at all, because nobody wins these things. But I don't want, you know, I don't need the Chinese to, you know, mop the floor with us either. I don't want that to happen, and I don't trust them. I'm more inclined to believe that that's what they're doing. They are offering pretty much a Trojan horse. That's what this is. I think they're doing one thing with their left hand and they're doing another with their right. And if they're not, they will. If they're not now, they will. You know, there's a lawyer, economist, and author by the name of Jim Rickard. Some of you may be familiar with his work. You'll see him on the financial media every once in a while. Written several books. Some you might be familiar with is Currency Wars, and I think his most recent one is Aftermath. And I've been watching some of his interviews recently. Some of them are, you know, a couple years old, and some of them are very recent. And this guy is in the know. He can get a meeting with virtually anybody he wants, some pretty powerful players. He used to be a part, I don't know if he was an employee of the CIA or he was a contractor. They contracted him out for some things, economically and financially speaking. Worked within the Pentagon to do some economic wargaming situations. And he tells a story where he was involved in one of these war games, these economic war games. And he went home and he told his wife, he said, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is my team won. The bad news is my team was role-playing for China. So it's a good thing that our government is, you know, trying to put forth some economic war games, or trying to strategize as to what might China do, or any other country for that matter. But clearly, obviously, in this example, it was China. Now, of course, in order for this to play out, whatever Jim Rickards and his team were doing, it would have to be the same thing that China would end up doing to the United States to get us. Now, this is a good practice because, well, if China happened to win in this war game, if we're going to take him for his word, and I believe him because I do believe China would have the tools to beat the United States in some areas, that would at least give us the ability to say, well, here's a weakness, here's something where we have to shore up, and hopefully we've done it, and hopefully we're doing it. Although I can tell you, it doesn't seem like we are, because we have $23 trillion in debt, and growing, no end in sight. Nobody wants to cut spending, nobody wants to get this fiscal house in order, and that is one of the biggest places where China can exploit a huge weakness within this country. You know, we talked about this in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing, as well. The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, under the Obama administration, he was asked a question. He said, well, what's the biggest threat facing the United States of America? The national debt. That was his answer. The national debt. And that was trillions of dollars ago, by the way. Trillions of dollars ago. So it's only worse now. And I'm sure there's some people, the naysayers out there saying, well, he said that trillions of dollars ago, and clearly nothing bad has happened. Well, you just wait and watch. Unfortunately, you just wait and watch, because nobody wants to take this seriously. Republicans, again, yesterday, the news came out that officially the U.S. deficit is $1 trillion, and we still have another month to go in the current fiscal year. $1 trillion, and we still have another month to go. Not good news, ladies and gentlemen. Not at all. And we know that next year is going to be about the same, if not more, because of the grand deal that the president made with the Democrats to lift the debt ceiling. So fantastic. Fantastic. I hope you can pick up on the sarcasm. So that's one of the things that Jim Rickards was talking about. The other thing that he was talking about, and he's been saying more recently, is he's of the mindset, and this makes sense to me, so I tend to agree with him on some of this. He believes that the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, and the Turks are forming an alliance. And they're forming an alliance to move away from the U.S. dollar. And he is evidencing this by looking at the gold reserves of Russia, which have tripled, I believe, over the past decade. China, their gold reserves have tripled over the past decade. You have the Iranians. I think he said it was a little harder to understand what they were doing because they're such a closed system. But he believes their gold reserves have increased by 100 tons. 100 tons in Iran. And I believe it was either Jim Rickards or somebody else I was also watching on a similar topic. I believe in Turkey, they are giving their central bank the right to first refusal when it comes to any gold production that takes place in Turkey. So that just means anything that's any gold that's produced in Turkey, the central bank has first dibs. If they want it, they can buy it and take it. If they don't want it, then it'll go to sell, you know, on the secondary market or whatever. Now, interestingly, what's going on geopolitically right now? We have sanctions. The United States has sanctions on Russia. The United States has sanctions and maximum pressure on Iran. The United States has just withdrawn some military and arms deals with Turkey because Turkey has been moving closer to Vladimir Putin in Russia. The United States has also been going after the Turkish lira, which is their currency. And that currency has just been in shambles recently. And we are in the midst of a trade war with China. So do you think this is all a coincidence? That's why I give this guy, Jim Rickards, some credit for pointing these things out. There are no coincidences, ladies and gentlemen. There's always something bigger brewing beneath the surface. And that's what I try to do here at the Capitol News. I'm a one-man army. I'm doing my best. This is why I try to listen and read as much as I can to people who I believe are in the know, who I find credible. And you just try to do your best to gather as much data as possible and then to connect the dots and see what makes sense. This makes sense to me. And if they are trying to form some sort of economic alliance to move themselves away from the U.S. dollar, that is not going to be good for the United States of America. Because if it's just those four countries, that's enough in and of itself. Because that's a lot, that's a big population with a lot of natural resources, oil, natural gas from Russia and Iran, huge amounts of oil and gas, 1.3 billion people in China alone. So huge markets. Why is this important if the U.S. dollar should be under threat? We also talk about this in the Cynic's Guide to Investing. We understand what the geopolitics of everything and how it plays into economics and finance and the markets. That's why we talk about so many things in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. And again, a big thank you to those of you who have been purchasing the book. I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope you pass it on to other individuals and encourage them to buy the book as well, whether that's hardback, paperback, or our Kindle version, which, of course, you can find on Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com. This is no surprise to me. We are completely off the gold standard. President Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard entirely back in 1971. What they then came up with was the petrodollar. That is currently what we have. That is the regime in which we find ourselves. What that simply means is we made a deal with the Saudis. Look, you're only going to buy oil. You're only going to sell your oil and accept U.S. dollars. You're not going to accept British pounds. You're not going to accept the Japanese yen or any other currency. You're not going to accept gold, nothing. You're going to take U.S. dollars and you're going to like it. And in exchange, we'll provide military cover for Saudi Arabia. Okay, we'll do it. That's the deal. What this does, folks, is it gives an artificial demand for U.S. dollars because there's no reason why the Saudis couldn't have taken Japanese yen or British pounds or any other currency for that matter, or gold. But the United States understood its situation. It understood that it was living on the knife's edge, that it needed to maintain the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. Well, we already know that China and Japan, or they went away from it. There's no question that the Iranians would be fine moving away from it. We already know, just from last week, you had the governor of the Bank of England. The Bank of England, which is supposedly an ally of the United States, Mark Carney, the governor of the Bank of England, came out and said, the U.S. dollar, yeah, I don't know if it needs to be the world reserve currency anymore. So this is not good, folks, for our livelihood, for the level, the living standard that we have grown accustomed to in this country. All right? So getting back to the petrodollar. If the Japanese want to buy oil, and they need to buy oil because they have none in their country, so they're always going to be a net importer of oil. They can't go to Saudi Arabia or Iran or anybody else and say, here, take these Japanese yen. They can't do it. They have to go onto the currency markets. They have to sell their yen, buy U.S. dollars. Then they got to take their dollars, sell their U.S. dollars, and buy oil. That's the trade. That's the trade. Doesn't have to be like that, but it is because of the system that the United States created. If you look, historically speaking, if you ever had a country, particularly in the Middle East, because they are, you know, rich with oil, natural gas, if they have ever flirted with the idea of saying, you know what, we'll take euros, we'll take yen, we'll take the Chinese yuan, we'll take gold. You know what happened to them? The United States Marine Corps came knocking on their front door, and they plowed it down. This is no coincidence. There are no coincidences. You had General Gaddafi in Libya. He was flirting with the idea of accepting gold for oil. He got a bullet to the head. He's gone. Remember Hillary Clinton? We came, we saw, he died, and she laughed about it because she's a psycho. Remember that? That's no coincidence. None whatsoever. Believe me when I tell you. Anybody who flirts with the U.S. dollar no longer being the world reserve currency or threatening the standing of the petrodollar system deals with the United States Marine Corps and the U.S. military. Does it make sense why we have the military-industrial complex? Starting to all come together, right? This is why I'm saying trouble in the bond market. Isn't it amazing how the financial markets always seem to pick up on what's going on geopolitically? That's why you got to pay attention to everything. That's why I do my best, again, looking at as much data as possible, reading as much as I can, listening to as many experts as I can and people who I find to have credibility, and then doing my best to tie it all together. So is there trouble in the bond market, or is this just a week and a half blip? It's something we're going to be paying very, very close attention to because this has ramifications for everybody across the globe, especially Americans, if something bigger is at play behind the scenes. So thank you so much for joining me. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out. It is Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Depending on what happens over the weekend, I might do a week ahead, you know, week look ahead segment on Sunday. But also be sure to check out our website, thecapitalnews.com, or our YouTube channel, The Capital News, because we do have some videos posted, and I hope you take the time to view them and enjoy them, and send me some comments. If there's something that you don't understand, I'll do another video explaining it. That's what I'm here for. This is educational, and I want to make sure I'm putting out good products. So the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if you give me some constructive feedback, and that's what I'm asking for, and that's what I want. It'll make the community a lot better, and it'll make this podcast a lot better, and the website as well. So again, thank you so much. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.